Today's lesson is the last class I just had a privilege of being able to participate in. This is a class, the very next to the last lesson. And so these are not my notes. These are notes of Thurman Scott, who put them together for the life of a minister, the class we're spiritual living class we're teaching downstairs. And it has to do with our mission, with our work, with who we are and what we are. The very words coming out of Romans chapter 10. How can they call on him who they have not believed? How can they believe in him who they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Senders of preachers. Who will send out preachers? There's a sad story that I heard years ago. It involved the work that we've been involved with David Buskirk in Indonesia, that through a lot of work and through a lot of struggle, some Christians negotiated with the government of Indonesia to get religious permits, Christian passports or visas, more correctly, Christian visas, religious worker visas to get into the country of Indonesia. And if my memory serves, they were able to negotiate. The government was very reluctant, and they had to work and work and work. They were able to negotiate something like a dozen permissions to get into the country. And they came back to the Bible schools and to the mission schools involved in our congregations, and they were able to fill one of those visas to go into a predominantly Muslim country. And that's David Buskirk, who, as far as I know, is still working on the edge of Papua New Guinea, the Indonesian half of that island, and reaching out into the people there. How will they hear unless someone is sent to them? We have been given by Jesus Christ a commission. I want to look at the four commissions, because there's one mentioned at the end of three Gospels and one mentioned at the beginning of Acts. So if you'll join me at the end of Matthew in verse 28, I know you've heard these verses many, many, many times, but please join me there. We're going to go from Matthew 28 to Mark 16 to Luke 24 to Acts 1. We'll do that sequentially. Matthew 28, verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee in the mountain, which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the very end of the age." Mark 16, if you will. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. He reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Luke 24, please. Luke 24, starting in verse 44. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with from Jerusalem. And finally, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Even to the remotest part of the earth. A commission is a responsibility. It's a lifelong task. It's a complete mission. It's a union of person, responsibility, and scope. This is just scope of your work, and this is what I want you to do until I tell you to stop. I'm giving you a commission. It's a lot more than a job. It's a lot more than raking leaves. It's a lot more than taking care of even a child, because a child will grow up and walk out on its own. A commission is something that continues until the person who gave it to you tells you to stop. This one is given by the authority of Jesus. Jesus is very clear in the Matthew account of these. We're going to mix the four of these accounts together to get the breadth of the scope that Jesus is giving to us. This is given to us by the authority of Jesus. He's very clear that he has this authority. And out of this, he bases his authority on three different things. One is, he bases his authority on the eternal deity. He is Christ, the Son of the living God. He aligns himself, and John, the gospel, teaches us clearly that Jesus was the Word with God in the beginning. Before the beginning, Jesus is. Before the beginning, Jesus is. And he gives us this commission based on his own deity. He gives us this commission also based on his kingship. Jesus is king. Jesus came in the line of David. And he not only sits on the throne of David or took care of the throne of David in a physical sense as a man physically of the line of David, whether you chased it back up the lineage of Mary or back up the lineage of Joseph. But he takes the throne of David by his spiritual kingship. And he's seated on the throne of David now. So by his deity, he gives us this commission. By his kingship, he gives us this commission. And by his resurrection and his appointment by God, he gives us this commission. This is a no kidding. This is a mission from God. There's nothing greater that we can be participant in. There is nothing greater that you can do than to be a participant in reuniting a person with their Heavenly Father God. You could cure cancer. You could establish world peace. You could win the $640 million lottery down there. And all of them fall to insignificance compared to reintroducing one person back to their Heavenly Father. Because all of those other things are very temporary. This world will not last, and so peace on it will not last. All will die. So curing cancer, although wonderful, and we would love it, simply prolongs life for a few more years. But curing spiritual death, that's God's business. And he's already accomplished that. And so our part in this is that we get, as a congregation, to pick up in our lifetime the edges of this commission that we can carry it forward. Notice the extent of the commission. In Matthew's account, the extent of this commission goes to all nations. We bring the message of Christ, the gospel, to all nations. Now, the Greek word there is ethne. And ethne is, of course, where we get the word ethnic groups. And so The United Nations wasn't there. We didn't have map makers there that were drawing boundaries between people to say, all right, you've been to the United States? Good. All right, that mission is done. Let's walk across the border to Canada and talk to somebody who works at a quick stop over there, and then you've talked to Canada. That's not the way the commission works. The commission is to take the message of the gospel to all ethnic groups. How many ethnic groups? So that made it a whole lot harder. This doesn't make it easier when you get down to the details. How many ethnic groups do we have sitting in this room? How many ethnic groups do we have in the state of Alaska? I don't know in what situations we've mentioned it, but somebody told us recently that the schools in Anchorage now have 120 different languages spoken in the Anchorage school system. Not that they're able to accommodate 120 different languages, but that shows the scope of their challenge in educating somebody in reading, writing, and mathematics. But imagine reaching all of those people with the message of the gospel. This is something going to all ethnic groups throughout societies in their own language. You need to be able to reach somebody within their ethnic identity. This isn't an American gospel. It's a gospel for all peoples. And we don't turn Christians around the world into little Americans, little groups of American-styled people. We turn them into Christ-styled people and let God do that. We just present them with his word. Mark's account says, go into all the world. Different word. That's cosmos. Cosmos, obviously. But it means every place. So not only every group, but every place. Every place where there's people. Every place where there's a village. Every place where somebody lives. You take them to all groups, but then you take them to all places. And also Mark's account lists the phrase, every creature. Every living person is honored by God that they are given the same gift of his son, Jesus Christ. There is no place, there is no person to be left out of this thing. There is no person who is unimportant. Last week, and we'll continue a bit today, we were talking about some of the false teachings that come out of the teaching called Calvinism. And one of the false parts of Calvinism is that not everybody is called to come to Christ. That only the elect, God chooses who gets to be a Christian. God gives us free will. And he asks us to take his gospel to every creature. What an honor that we get to participate in this. And Luke's account says, starting with Jerusalem. Okay? And until when? Starting right here in this community. And then we end up where? We just start here. In other words, it continues until the job is finished. So between those accounts, we get all nations to every place, to every individual, until the job is done. Well, you can do the math. People are being born faster than we're able to reach them. How can we possibly do that? You know what? We don't need to worry about that part. We don't need to worry about that part. We get the joy of participating in the commission. Yesterday, a minor heartbreak hit my life. My basketball team lost. Aww. They're rubbing it in already. My team was ahead by as much as 13 points early in the game. And the other team, I'll leave unnamed. The other team, not literally, but nearly literally, was only ahead when the final buzzer went off. Well, guess what goes down in the record books? The only thing the record book accounts for is who was ahead when the buzzer went off. It doesn't count that you were winning by 13 points in the first half. It doesn't feel like we're winning, does it? It doesn't feel like we're gaining on a world that's growing faster than it can be counted, practically. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter how, quote, impossible the commission feels. Because when you get into the details, the commission doesn't get simpler, it gets bigger. But that's not our job. We don't need to rationalize with God. He never says, could you talk this over with me? Is this he never asks us to do that. He simply guarantees that Christ is victorious, and in him is the victory. Revelation says that in him all Christians stand victorious. And he gives us a job to do. To send or go into all nations. The intent, that was the extent of the commission. The intent of the commission is to make disciples, as we've tried to identify as our church mission. Make disciples. The phrase in going means as you are going or having gone. It's the incident of Christianity. You're going somewhere, aren't you? Yes, sir. Well, then as you're going, connect with people. Show them Christ. Teach them Christ. Last week we talked about how in Philippians 2 we're described as being lights in the world, stars in the universe, if you will, luminaries, that we are the very light of God. We carry the message of God. We live the lives of Christ. Our marriages, our children, our families, our hearts, our care, our love for people, our love for each other are all to illuminate this job. We're not to have happy families as an end in itself. We're not to have joyous marriages, loving, tender marriages as an end in itself. We're supposed to do those things as lights in dark places. So that out of the joy of your marriage, somebody will come to know Christ. Out of the love and care of your children, somebody will come to know Christ. We are to make disciples, and as we are going, we show people Christ. We proclaim Christ. Preaching is a vital part of this, but not Sunday morning church gathering preaching. This is a wonderful place for people to learn about Christ, but it's a pretty small audience. If we wait for the world to walk through the doors of our buildings, you will never reach people. This is not the place of evangelism. This is the place of maturity. This is the place where we teach one another. The place where we teach those who don't know Christ is everywhere else. Is in their kitchens. In the stores up the street. In our living rooms. In their villages. We baptize them into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And then we get into the business that we're in right now. The business, Jesus said, teaching all things. We're to be in a constant state of learning as Christians. We're to be in a constant state of learning. Our assemblies should be ever-learning gatherings. That we can be educated. That we can know. That we can act. That we can live and love and rejoice in Christ. The content of the commission, it's Jesus himself. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his gospel. It's all about how he lived and how he died and how he came to life again. It's all about Jesus. When you look in the book of Acts and you parallel their lessons in the book of Acts, you will see that they confirmed that Jesus lived his life on earth. They confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was deity in the flesh. They confirmed that a relationship with Jesus would make all the difference to the person they were talking to. Jesus came and showed us God. Jesus was God himself on earth, raised from the dead, and was raised from the dead. And your connection to Christ will make all the difference in your life. And then they said, but you have sins that need repented of. and you need to come to him in faith and repentance. That was what they taught. That was how we go and teach people. Our gifts are given to us. The several stories, the lessons we've taught and learned about the giftedness that every Christian receives, the gifts that each one of us have, whether it's encouragement or giving or leading or teaching, whatever your gift is, it's all to be done for this purpose. It's all to be done for this purpose. This is not a money-raising mission. We're not to raise money. In fact, if you talk to experienced missionaries, money is not the problem. Not that we don't, there isn't a need for financial support from missionaries, but you pour money into a situation, you'll likely create more problems than you solve. The need is people. The need is for willing people who will go and proclaim and teach and show. And you don't need to go anywhere else but right where you go, right here. If God helps you to go to a foreign country, that's awesome. But go prepared, go taught, go when you're trained. Men must be trained in every place. This is a global mission. Every nation, every ethnic group, every people, in every place, until we're told to stop, we trust him with it. It's not one that we get frustrated in. It's one in which we know who is victorious. And our congregation needs to have this clear in our mind and our heart and our thought that we have this commission and that we pick it up as a group and carry it forward. Let us be evangelistic in all that we say and do and are, that we might reach people with the gospel of Christ. Romans 10:14, how will they call on him who they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah, the Lord who has believed our report. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words until the end of the world. Let us continue to be a congregation that has their eyes looking up, their minds open to the message of Christ, their hearts willing with the gospel of Christ, their lives living for the glory of Christ, sending people whose feet end up being called beautiful, no matter how ugly they are, because they bring the gospel of Christ. This morning at this time, if there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, or if you have any need at all that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song.